It's interesting that I'm starting because as a kid, I did not like bread, regular bread, that is. Mom bought only wheat bread, never white bread. If you're younger, you may be too young to miss Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread was kind of okay. I pity it was soft and squishy, and you could make little balls out of them and throw them. When we even went to Sacramento to visit the new Wonder Bread factory. Now, when we got there, they said we couldn't eat the bread from there because they just started baking it. They had to let it sit for a while. My mother was not impressed by that. As a matter of fact, now my husband does make sourdough bread, and we have a small problem because he thinks you should wait 20 minutes before you slice it. And I think 10 minutes is plenty long enough. But regular bread, well, even now if you ask if I want a sandwich, no, I'll have salad. Or my favorite lunch, which is toasted almonds, cheese, and fruit. When I left home, I did not even eat bread for years, except maybe a little white bread. But as I became more health conscious and with the kids and everything, I started eating more and more, less meat, more CD bread, more whole grains. And then when my husband retired, he got this book on paleo diet and said, well, let's try it for a month. And that's no gluten, among other things. At the end of a month, we said, should we try it again? Yeah, let's try it again. And then at the end of the second month, we said, well, should we try it again? We said, yeah, let's try it again. Well, I felt really good, and then I realized after some time that I felt so much better. I wasn't having a lot of gas. I wasn't having that urgent feeling. Sometimes you have to get to the bathroom and you'll have a number two accident. It's pretty hard when you're getting older to have that. So now I've decided that I don't like gluten, but you know, I kind of like bread. Well, my mother always liked and baked a lot of quick bread, so recently I decided, well, I would try making quick bread using almond flour. And it's pretty good, it's not exactly the same, so I brought some today. And I really wish that she'd been around to try it, because in her last year she developed diabetes, but not number two diabetes, number one diabetes. And she had to take shots and she had to prick her finger, which she didn't like to do. And it was really a problem to her. And one of her problems was bread, because she did like to bake white bread. And she couldn't really have it that well. So it would have been really nice if she could have had some almond bread. So today I brought some persimmon bread, persimmon nut bread, and some banana nut bread made with almond flour. And so it's gluten-free.
And now we have Hadrian.
What's it talk about bread without the actual bread? So this is the really only what I think authentic Italian bread available here in the Pacific Northwest. And I have fond memories of it growing up. My Sicilian grandfather introduced me to eating soft-boiled eggs when I was about 5 or 6. And it was just amazing to me, the whole technique of opening up the egg, cracking the top very gently, and then dunking the toasted Italian bread into the egg. It was just wonderful. I don't do it now, but I don't know why, but I have fond memories of it. Comparing this to standard, what I would call standard American bread. I don't know, is Wonder Bread still a brand that people have sold? It was basic white bread. My uncle said what was wonderful about Wonder Bread is you could knead it up and turn it back into dough. And I thought, that's just awful. You can't do that with this bread. This is real substantial bread. So it's available at a couple stores if you're interested in Grand Central Bakery at Whole Foods or Safeway.
What's the name of it?
Oh, it's Cuomo. And they sell it whole or sliced. I like it whole. I like to rip chunks of it off. Like I did as a kid and dunk it into the soup. Right.
Well, I didn't know I was supposed to talk, but I do have a talk sort of prepared. I've just been thinking about my relationship to bread all my life. I actually brought some multi-grain bread that I got at Fred Meyer, and it looks very yummy, so we can try that. But my relationship to bread, I guess it really started when I was raised in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and there was an Italian bread bakery there. We had quite a large population of Italians in that community, and you could always smell freshly baked bread in the air. It seemed like every day it was, and we had that quite a bit. Although it seemed like traditional white bread to me. The outer crust wasn't real crusty like artisan breads are these days, and it seemed like the same thing with the interior. You could bunch it up and, you know, throw it at each other, like she was saying. So I wasn't that enamored by that bread. My brother still mentioned last time I visited him, he really misses it. So, but we mainly had the Wonder Bread. And I'm not sure when that started. I know in the 40s and 50s when I was growing up, we always had a plate of bread at the table, always. My grandfather, paternal grandfather, had to have at least two slices of bread with his meal all the time, and usually drenched in gravy. He loved it that way. The only thing I remember when I was a child that I liked with the bread was, you'd get toast it, put butter, and then your sugar and cinnamon. And that was a real special treat. And I'm sure still some of us do make that for our grandchildren and our children. So that was a special treat. As I grew older, I came out here to Oregon in 1966 and went to the University of Oregon in Eugene. Now at that time, artisan bread, which they call artisan bread, was not the craze at all. I'm not sure when it really got started, but I think it was in the late 70s and 80s. At that time, it was brown rice. And also, we were some of the first people who used wheat berries, organic wheat berries, to make wheatgrass juice. And I'm sure some of you have seen wheatgrass juice in the health food stores. And we would have a shot of that every morning with our olive oil and felt very healthy. And would grow. I had trays of wheatgrass growing in the window. And then we had a wheatgrass juicer. So that's my only relationship with wheat at that time in the 70s. Then in the 80s, I think that's when artisan breads really started to take off. You know, the crusty on the outside and not real soft in the center like Wonder Bread. It just has a nice firm texture. So I started, I can do this. So I started making it, you know, and challenging myself and reading the books on bread making and analyzing my oven and trying. And then I started making dough for pizza. And, you know, we always had homemade pizza at least once a week. So I started reading about that, and how do I do that? Well, of course, you know, then women started getting these stones that you would, that did better, they suggested. Well, I tried that, and finally I gave up on it because I figured I just didn't have the right kind of oven, and I'd never seen, and that's maybe in the 90s when you started to see restaurants that had the brick ovens, and then they'd make their pizza in that. Of course, I've never thought the pizza out west here ever tasted like a good Italian pizza back east. I mean, even today, they have to be speaking Italian to make good pizza. So, and then eventually, I think in the 90s, no. Oh, well, we skipped the 70s. As an it was really important, though, when I was in the brown rice stage. I really miss bagels, really miss them. We had quite a nice-sized Jewish community in Westchester, and there were always bagels, you know, always available, fresh bagels. So I really missed them. So I started making them for Saturday market and selling them, and nobody had ever done that before. And I'd make about 10 dozen fresh on Thursdays and Fridays and then sell out by noon every Saturday. But that's hard work to make bagels. And I made the kind where you boil them in potato water. So I think, I'm not sure which came first. Then I really missed the Philadelphia soft pretzels. And this was before your soft pretzel businesses, and even the bagel was too. I mean, if somebody loaned me money, I'd be really wealthy here and not standing here. I'd probably be in Tahiti somewhere, because I began these businesses before they really began, and the soft pretzels, people loved them. I just made them with the kosher salt on them, you know, not the fancy kinds with cinnamon and blah, 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 and they always sold out too. But it's hard work making baked goods. So I soon returned to being a speech pathologist in the public schools. And of course, I couldn't find any loans, you know. Nobody would loan me any money. So then in the we started going to Mexico in the summers. Or in the winters, because to get out of the rain, and being sellers at Saturday market, you know, we weren't selling. Well, in Mexico, they have these great French rolls. They're called bolillos, and I believe they're only sold in northern Mexico. And I went to Mexico in January last year, and they were still selling them. They're just delicious. And I did see one of those wood-fired stoves built into a cliff in that area way back when, 40 years ago. I don't think they have things like that anymore. Maybe in their restaurants they have something fancy like we do. And but they still have vendors going around town in this little town I was in Mexico in January, yelling bolillos, you know, and they are delicious. People think that Mexico isn't that international, but it really is. There were French people who lived there. Mexico hadn't achieved independence from France in 1812, I believe it is, they'd be speaking French. So there were a lot of French people at that time. Well, and then eventually, like I said, I got into making bread and making dough for pizza. And now, and then moved up to Vancouver, and I'm going, oh, well, we've got to have some bread with this lovely soup I made, you know. Can't find anywhere. This was before Fred Meyer started selling artisan breads from Portland. I went to Larson's Bakery up there, and all they sold were cakes and like this, you know, Wonder Bread, actually. I thought, gee, people still eat that? And so I was disappointed, but I didn't go back to making bread because I was working full time. And now Fred Meyer has lovely breads, and of course we got Killer Dave's bread, and I mainly eat that. But every now and then I try to get some bread like this. So and bread is, they say, the staff of life, and if you've read much of historical novels, I mean, when people didn't have anything else to eat, they had bread. And bread was crucial. If you could even have a little chunk of bread to get you through the day, somehow you could survive. And so I think it still is very critical for a lot of people in a lot of these countries where they're starving. The bread is really crucial. And sharing bread. You know, there's a saying that if you share bread with someone, like someone who's outside of your circle, like a Jewish person or a Muslim person or a African-American person or a Mexican, if you share bread with them, you come together. You really can learn to understand each other. So anyway, let's share our bread.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Tallulah, rolling up, please.
We brought two breads. We brought poppy seed and sesame seed.
Want to take it back?
So I have to confess, I can't make bread. I've tried to make bread. It's they eat it because they are lovely humans, but it's awful. I can't make bread. Could do other things. Lasagna, sure. Felt heavy to bring. 11 o'clock in the morning. So we and my family, we don't have family traditions of bread and recipes to pass down. We didn't. My brother and I didn't have a lot of family around us. No grandparents to tell us how to cook this and that. And so what my brother and I have done throughout our lives is just patchwork a family around us. You know, whoever's in our lives, that becomes our family. We both do this in our different parts of the world. One of our most recent squares into our little patchwork family is my mother's husband. They've been married for a few years now, and if I had to describe him as the patchwork on our quilt, he would be all the colors, all of them, and maybe not quite symmetrical in the quilt, and maybe a little bit itchy. He is in many ways the opposite of my mom. He is loud and erratic in his movements, and loud, really loud. Half the time I don't know what he's talking about, and the other half I'm like, oh, should I earmuff Tallulah? What is happening here? But when I pull away from that, and we've learned this over the years, when I step back and then not focus on what is he saying, what's happening in my life, and I watch what he's doing, he's making bread. This guy can make some beautiful loaves of bread. And he does it for, it's not just us he makes bread for, he does it for anyone who comes through the door. Anyone who's gonna sit at his table, he goes in the kitchen and he makes bread. And that's hard to do that. And so it felt natural to ask him to make a loaf to share with you all. And so we let him choose what kind of bread to make. And he wanted to make this challah bread. Which is so time-consuming, and that's what he really wanted to make. And he said he learned this recipe from a friend's mom who used to make this bread and share it with the kids in the neighborhood, and they all called her grandma. And so he carried that with him, that feeling of being included. And that's how I see when he served us bread, when he makes this bread, when he spent hours yesterday, hours making these two loaves of bread so that we could share it today. And it was this complicated, Matt, meet me behind the restaurant where we're having dinner in the middle so we could pass the bread like contraband. It was a whole production because he is a scratchy patchwork quilt square. But he felt so moved to be included and to want to share this really special bread with us. And that's that's the feeling that I really wanted to share with you, even though I can't make bread and have no sort of connection or recipes for brilliant bread, that care and that being, showing someone, not in your words, right, just showing someone very simply with very simple ingredients that you are welcome, that you are cared for, all the things that we strive to do here every week. So that's my bread story.